The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Key Marine Center.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
It's a good day for a boat ride.
On the boat again. I just can't wait to get on the boat again.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Meg with Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, 850-437-1620. And when you hear the boat songs, that means it's time for Boat Smart with our friend Stefan Schmidt, sponsored by Key Marine Center in Northwest Florida. Good morning, Stefan.
Hey, good morning. And I would say happy sunny Friday, but it's going to be a mess this weekend, isn't it?
I don't know. It's not looking good, is it?
We'll talk a little bit about that. I do want to send out some reminders because bad weather coming in, you always have to do certain things with your boat and make sure everything's secure and stuff. So we'll talk about that a little bit. I want to thank our sponsor, Key Marine Center of Northwest Florida. Key Marine, located at 5621 Byer Road here in Pensacola, 850-492-0487. Check them out on the website, keymarinecenter.com. Also on our Facebook page as well, so you can get their, they can tell you about your boat repair. They have all their engines and everything they have for sale on there as well. So check them out at keymarinecenter.com. Key Marine is your Yamaha, Mercury, and Suzuki repower center, so check them out for that too. So they have special deals right now with extended warranties on all their products. All the products across the board are offering extended warranties, so
that's
a great
amazing
time to buy.
Yeah, that's a great thing.
It's a great time. And right now we're getting into the season. As I mentioned before, I was out at Key Marine, and they are getting busy. And a lot of places
surprised
are starting to get busy now. It's kind of how it works in our area as we get into the February, March time frame. People start thinking about their boats. They start getting ready to go boating.
The weather starts getting pretty.
Last minute, let's get my boat out there. I haven't started it in over, several months. Let's get it out there and get it checked out, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's a good time to do that. And remember, they can do any warranty repair on your Yamaha, Mercury, Suzuki. And also now they have that Cox diesel out there as well.
That's a big deal, isn't it?
Yes, that's pretty neat. There is actually a boat show coming up, not this weekend, but next weekend is the Wharf Boat Show.
Oh, fun.
And if you haven't been to that and you're interested in a boat or just maybe thinking about a boat, it's a great place to go to see all the products in our area right there in one place.
That'd be great, especially right
now. I would
right
say it's probably the biggest boat show in our area. They have boats in the water. They have boats, in the slips over there, mm-hmm, on land, everything. And they showcase all aspects of the marine industry. So it's a great place to go for the Wharf Boat Show. We'll talk about it again on Friday next week. We are going over there with my class. Several students are going to go over, and Yamaha helps us with some tickets and stuff, and we'll get over there with all my students. They want my students to be there.
I love that.
So they
that
can see the products and the stuff, and they actually get a chance to ride on some boats and things like that too. So it's pretty cool.
Well, I could be an official boat tester.
Yeah, you could do that. They actually have professional drivers for their boats and stuff.
Oh, well,
so,
I'm not one of those.
I don't know how we could test bumping them off the dock or something maybe, but I don't know.
It's good.
Yeah, so they have
good
a lot of boats out there that they're going to be testing and running around, people around in. So we always take advantage of that. I enjoy that weekend. I usually spend most of the day over there on Saturday, and it's a good way to make connections and stuff,
too. Oh, sure.
Too,
yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, so that we'll talk a little bit more about next Friday. It opens next Friday, so we'll talk more about it as we go toward that weekend.
But in the meantime, now is a good time to get your boat in.
Checked. Definitely. Get over there to Key Marine, get your boat in for service. Now is the time to do it and get it done, because the more the season goes on, the harder it's going to get your boat back. And that's with any dealership, because, I remember time frame 6 weeks before we even look at a boat when I was in a dealership, working at dealerships.
Wow, okay.
So by the time, and 6 weeks, boating season is over, so you need to really think about that. And a lot of times they don't do major repairs either during the boating season, because we're concentrating on services and getting, mm-hmm, the boats back out too. So
that makes sense.
So repower may be your best option. They can do those pretty quick.
Okay. Well, if you have any questions for Stefan about boating and getting your boat back into shape for the season, 850-437-1620, text it in. He is on the expert panel for Boat Smart this morning, and he's our resident expert for sure.
Yeah, and we are really busy. We're busy at the Marine Surface Technology class, but now we're on break.
Oh, I'm so
jealous.
Yeah,
we're on break for spring break right now.
Nice.
And last night was our our last day for, until we go. We're going to be back in 10 days, I think, the time frame.
A 10-day break.
If you consider weekends and everything. So it's really a 4-day break for us, but it's a 10-day long time off.
Great.
So we're in a spring break. And then in April, I'll take new students in again, and then we'll be marching toward – that's pretty good. Today it's March, and you're marching toward boating season. We'll be marching toward summertime.
Wow. Okay. That's very good.
So, and trying to schedule our summer season and stuff like that. So we'll do summer school as well, hopefully. And I've done summer school for the past, 15 years. I've always done summer school.
Wow.
And it helps the students move forward. So we'll talk about that, too, as weeks come, getting into summer school.
And we should mention this is at George Stone Technical College.
Yeah.
Which is so people know where you're teaching the classes.
That.
And
yep.
If someone is interested in one of your summer classes, is it too late for spring or can they still
sign
up?
No, right now is the time to get over there and talk about it. So you have to be enrolled in full-time class. Or at least let me rephrase that. You have to be enrolled in class as we go into summer school. I do not take students in summer, so we have to roll them over into summer.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yep. So we cannot take new students because the curriculum, everything changes for summer.
Mm-hmm.
Because no lectures, no anything like that. We're basically all hands on.
Oh, interesting.
What we're doing is catching up and moving students forward on things that they either missed or maybe want to learn about. So it's kind of on their schedule kind of thing as far as what they learn.
Right.
But we don't take new students in. So we try to get everybody into class over the, the normal school year, and then we move into the summer school.
Okay.
Yep. So I would definitely, I have a waiting list still.
Okay? Not surprised.
I have another gentleman that called. I've been emailing back and forth the last couple of days, and he's going to come in next week, the following week, when we come back for a tour of the class and talk about his entrance into the class. So I do that a lot. If you're interested or you have somebody that's interested, maybe it's a son, daughter, grandchild, email me, call me, whatever. I can get you a tour of the class with the person who, for yourself. I will walk you around, talk to you.
What's your email?
And the email is sschmidt@ecsdfl.us.
One more time.
Yeah, S Schmidt, ECSDFLUS. And you can also go to the website to get that email address. And my phone number, of course, is on there.
So, okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
So we can do that too. So as we get into, as you're interested in the class, we can do tours. And I'll walk you around and stuff like that. I've also done tours for other classes, not really like a tour for other classes, but a walkthrough of the whole entire school.
Mm-hmm.
And either myself or Mr. Wiggins would do that, and we walk people through that's interested. They don't know what they're interested in.
Well, sure.
So we walk them through and explain all the classes and stuff that we have and what's available to them. So we can do that as well.
Okay.
Okay. So, we're out there to help the people that are interested, to set goals for them, to help them with their goals, that kind of thing. And that's the best way to do it. Open a conversation, talk to them, and understand what direction they want to go. And then most of the time, students that come to my class beforehand and do a tour are more successful than those that just show up.
Sure, that makes sense. But what I love about what you do is that you also set them up for success. So as they're learning these skills, the next step would be co-oping with one of the local marine companies. And
yeah,
then
we have a lot of students co-oping.
A lot of connections to get them started in the business. And that's what's so great about this.
Yeah. And we do that in order to get students out into the field a little early. It helps them to be engaged at a dealership and also still be under my wing. So we do that often. I only have one student right now co-oping, and that's out at Key Marine right now. So I don't have any other co-op. We had a great year last year. We completed, everybody that we completed, 100% of the students that were wanting to go to work, willing to go to work, 100% of them got jobs.
You're kidding.
So we're good.
That's a phenomenal statistic.
It's an up and down to the roller coaster
100%
sometimes.
100% though.
Yeah, 100%.
That's a lot.
I think that's pretty good.
I think so. Yes.
I'm going for 110, but
I was
going to
say
how to do
it didn't
that.
Get
maybe
much
I put
than
somebody
that.
At two places at one time. I don't
that's
know.
That's phenomenal. But, yeah. Congratulations to you. Really.
Yep. So we got spring break this week, but I got some good things to talk about. Aiden Long, and I spoke about him a couple weeks ago, started working at HMS Marine Electronics.
Congratulations, okay. Aiden. That's
I believe
great.
They're working their sublet company for Grander Marine out of Foley area, somewhere over there.
Mm-hmm.
It's honestly, it's crazy that sometimes I place students, not because I've talked to the dealership, but because I have students working at other dealerships that talk to the people that are looking for people.
Well, it's all connections.
And this happened with this one. You know, it was a gentleman contacted me, and they were looking for someone. And he and I love to have phone conversations with these potential places that are going to hire, because I want them to understand, you know, what we're putting in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't want to mislead anybody and say, okay, you have a full-blown technician coming out of this class,
sure,
going to work. It's like a college or any other technical school or anything. You know, if you're learning, if you're studying to be a doctor or a lawyer, you're still not a doctor or a lawyer until you go out and do some get out and get some experience, right?
Residencies and, yeah,
same with us, right? Now there are students that are above, you know, the experience level, and I can tell the people that, you know, this student is a little above what other students are, you know, and that helps. But in Aiden's, instance, they understand that he is still a little green, but they're willing to help and learn and train him further, right? And it's in our field, but a lot of this is stuff that we don't train on. He's doing electronics,
mm-hmm,
okay, on high-end boats, right?
Interesting, yeah.
And $1.5 million boats, $2 million boats, these boats. So you're walking out of my shop area,
mm-hmm,
and stepping into $1 million-plus boat.
Yacht.
To cut holes in it.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So it can be stressful and it could be, you know, wow, overwhelming. But I talked to him on the very first day. I said, when my students go to work, I always try to give them an encouraging word before they go. Okay.
That's
interviews,
great.
Same thing. Always, you know, before an interview, hey, you know, good
you
luck.
Got, you got
know,
this.
How it goes, that kind of thing. Always before, right? So I did the same thing with Aiden as he goes to work that morning. And I said, let me know how it goes. And he called me, and he didn't want to text me. He wanted to call me. And he told me, you know, how awesome it was that day, you know,
mm-hmm,
and how they worked with him and how he liked all the people and all that stuff. And it's so very important to have all that, you know.
Yeah.
So my recommendation to him was give it a couple weeks and ask them how you're really doing, you know, because,
mm-hmm,
that, you know, day one, you're excited. Day one is, you know, you're learning and all this stuff, right? So it takes a few weeks for a person to get acclimated into those, you know, type of atmospheres, you know.
Of course,
maybe,
yeah,
a little longer. And so I told him, I said, you know, I always recommend my students, after they go to work, I tell them, ask your employer how you're doing. Don't hesitate, you,
mm-hmm,
know. How am I doing? Am I doing a good job for you? Am I meeting your expectations?
Mm-hmm. Where can I improve?
You know. Hmm?
I always ask, where can I improve?
Yeah, where can I improve? Always important,
mm-hmm,
right? So that's what I recommend to my students, for them to do that. So they get some input,
mm-hmm,
okay? That way, if there is anything that needs to change, they're aware of it, and they're not going blindly into their 90-day period where they have no idea. Maybe they weren't corrected. Maybe their people were just aggravated, or maybe they're doing a good job. Who,
mm-hmm,
knows, right? But I always like for them to go and say it before.
Right.
You know? Anything I can do to improve? Is there anything I need to change? Or am I doing a good job? You know, I enjoy working here. Those,
mm-hmm,
kind of things,
mm-hmm,
you know.
The communication,
and
keep it,
yeah,
open.
Yeah, and do that and just take a minute or two. You don't have to be lengthy about that, but ask them. And that's what I told Aiden. I said, you need to ask them in a couple of weeks, how you doing? That first day, that first week excitement, man, I tell you what, I get it from a lot of them. Those pictures of boats and this is what,
mm-hmm,
I did today and this is so exciting and
aww,
all this stuff,
that's
right?
Great.
We want them to be excited, but we also want them to do a good job.
True. That's right. Right. That's
so that's
right.
What I recommend for that. Cameron, and you guys have heard me talk about Cameron before. Cameron is my student that came from Maryland,
mm-hmm,
go to school here.
Mm-hmm.
Last night was his last day in our class.
Oh, that's got to be tough.
It's a good, you know,
bittersweet.
You know, it's kind of like, I said, you know, don't make me cry, you know. And I would tease them, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, you got to kick the bird out of the nest,
mm-hmm,
you know. You got to get him flying, and you got to help him out. But he's got a good path ahead of him. He's actually going to work off on an offshore boat that supplies oil rigs.
Oh, wow.
Okay?
That's
and the
interesting.
Boats are like 150 to 280 foot long.
Wow.
He'll go on there, and his let's see what he has as far as safety. He already has the safety and firefighting under his belt, CPR, those kind of things. He had to take you take additional classes before you go off on these boats.
Right.
What I thought was interesting about this was one of the part of his class was getting along with others.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, I can see how that works.
Well, if you're out on the seas with a small
group of
people.
You don't want to get thrown overboard.
Correct.
Right?
You want to get along with your crewmates, right?
Because once you're out on that boat, you're gone for days, and they're gone for a month at a time, right?
That's interesting that they would offer that class. So but it makes sense.
Also, CPR and life-saving aspects of it, because you become part of this group or crew, right? You have to be able to look out for each other. And definitely have to get along with each other.
Yeah, that's
right. So that's a big part of it. Even if you don't get along, you need to practice learning how to get along.
Right.
Right. So it's pretty cool that he's doing that, and he's going out into the industry through that part of it. Mm-hmm. So we consider that a placement because the things that he learns in our class will actually help him there as well. Right.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Engines and generators and boat systems and things like that. All that helps him. Mm-hmm. You know. Chris, who was a graduate, he's a captain on one of them boats now.
No kidding.
And he had told me the other day they had a problem with one of their little boats, and he actually troubleshot it and fixed it for them.
Right? How about that?
And and I thought that was cool.
That is very cool.
And they're
cool.
Like, you know how to do this? And he's like, yeah. You know, so, you know,
good
you
for
go
him.
From little boats to big boats, you know,
good for
and
him.
It's just pretty cool that they're, you know, out there working in the field. We got a text.
Well, no, I was just going to say, if you just joined us, this is Pep Talk and Boat Smart with Stefan Schmidt. Just want to, in case somebody just joined us, 850-437-1620 if you got a question for Stefan.
Yeah, give us a text, 850-437-1620. I'd love to hear from you. Call us. I like to hear voices, too.
Okay, you know? You can do that.
And that kind of stuff. So we've been really busy this week, and I tell you what, we had a little issue yesterday, and I this stuff happens, okay? And I've really been practicing my calmness and trying to be like lower my level of, you know, too much, too high, too low.
You're zen.
You know, trying to be level, which is very difficult for me because I don't, you know, I am very outspoken and very, you know, believe
shocker,
it or not.
Shocker.
And so I'm practicing, and my students, I said, I'm going to be nice this week, you know, not that I'm not nice, but.
Well, maybe you could take some lessons from
Elden. It kind of sent them the other direction. They're like, oh, this is not going to be good. You being nice is not going to be good. And I'm like, okay, well, we'll practice it for this week. You know, so it's kind of fun playing that side a little bit, you know. But so my students, I was walking out. They were actually doing, we have a shop motor. It's a 4.3 fuel-injected MerCruiser. And I'm going through some motors and getting them out and getting them ran out and make sure everything's good on them. And this particular motor had two cylinders that weren't running on it when we ran it out. And so we were getting that motor running, and we went through the troubleshooting procedure and compression test and all that stuff. And we determined that that motor had two cylinders down, wasn't running on two cylinders. So the next step was to pull the injectors after they checked all the other spark and compression and all that stuff. So we figured it's a fuel supply issue. So they were pulling the injectors out and cleaned them. And when you pull the injectors out, there's one little component there. It's the idle air control. And they pulled this idle air control valve out.
Oops.
And then things went downhill from there.
Oops.
So we have a phone call?
Yes, we do.
All right, let's listen to that.
All right. Good morning on News Radio 92.3. This is Pep Talk and Boat Smart. Got David on the line from Pensacola. How are you doing, David?
I'm doing good. I'm enjoying the show. Your guest is obviously very knowledgeable about boats. And I got a question that I think that he'll probably have some different opinions on. Probably a lot of your listeners will be interested in it, too. It has to do with ethanol gas, and I'm sure this is something you've been asked many times. But my thing is, you know, nowadays that pretty much all new outboard motors are four-stroke, and that they've known that the main gas people typically are going to put in them are going to have around 10% or up to 10% ethanol in them. Haven't they gotten to the point now where they've engineered these four-stroke motors on boats to where the ethanol gas is not going to be such a big problem? And also, along that line, is a four-stroke motor is, you know, kind of similar to a car motor as far as, you know, it's no longer the two-stroke technology that the old outboard motors is. So, I mean, it's got a lot of the same type components as far as hoses and cooling systems and oil and things of this nature that just, you know, a small car engine has. And cars run fine off of ethanol fuel for years and years and years, and they don't make a big deal about, oh, you're going to ruin your car's engine by putting ethanol in it. And I know non-ethanol fuel is pretty easily available. Not super easy, but pretty easily available. But they charge an arm and a leg for it.
Right.
And I thought I'd pick your brain about, do you think now with the modern four-stroke outboard motor that they've gotten the components straightened out to where it's not going to be a big deal?
Okay, so the one factor here that is the main factor is how often do you run your boat? Okay, if you compare them to cars, every day you're starting your car. Typically, every day you're moving your car. You're driving it every single day. What happens with a non-ethanol or an ethanol fuel is phase separation, and the fuels start to separate. They don't stay mixed up. The additives and the ethanol start to separate. Also, corrosion becomes an issue, and when you have an issue with the fuel sitting in your fuel lines, the plastics, the rubbers, even the metals, it actually attacks those components. But the main factor is that, are you running your boat every day? If you're running your boat every day and you still have to treat your fuel, I would say you might get away with an ethanol fuel. But for longevity, for maintenance value, those kind of things, non-ethanol fuel is the way to go. No, 100%. I put it in my boat.
You would highly recommend the non-ethanol fuel, even on the modern day.
There's no doubt.
Here's my other thing, though. You're talking about, okay, so obviously you're right. There is a big difference. Most people aren't running their boats every single day unless they're, a commercial guy. So, but even with like a car that I run, most every day, that fuel still sits in the fuel line, and the clamps and the things and the components that are part of the engine are still exposed to that ethanol fuel. When I shut my car off, all that fuel is still in there. It doesn't go away. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So when I shut off my outboard motor, all the fuel is still in there. It doesn't go away. So why does a car survive, with that fuel exposure, and yet it seems to... And I've seen actual visual demonstrations where they show this is the hose from ethanol where it's been eaten up. Why don't they improve the hoses that they're using on these outboard motors? Goodness knows they cost enough where they could spend a little more money on the hoses.
Yeah, but the cost factor is really not part of it. It's actually the ethanol is going to eat everything away anyhow, no matter what. So it goes back to the fact that you're not running it every day. Okay. The other factor that you have is pulling in of water because you're around water all the time. So you're near water, so you have condensation building up in the fuel tanks and that kind of stuff too. Especially in our area, we have big swings in humidity, that kind of stuff too. So all these factors are why I always recommend a non-ethanol fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And find a station.
That's something we can definitely agree on. The ethanol, I guess because it's alcohol or more of an alcohol than the regular fuel, it pulls the moisture out of the air just by its nature.
And one more thing.
Gasoline, if you have pure gasoline, that's not going to pull. I mean, it might pull some. You might have some condensation in your tank just from hot and cold.
Yep.
But it's not because the chemical composition of the gasoline is actually pulling the moisture out. Whereas the chemical composition of ethanol actually pulls moisture into it. Would that be a correct?
Yeah, that's 100% correct. So we're getting down to about 30 seconds. Let me finish with this, okay? I appreciate your phone call.
Well, I appreciate you hearing me out. I still have my doubts, but I trust the experience.
Yep.
Thanks.
Yep. Bye. Non-ethanol fuel. Make sure you treat your fuel and. More often you're running a boat, you might get away with it. So I appreciate that call, David. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in, David. So we're down to about the last 30 seconds here, my friend.
That was a good call.
it was a great call. So.
But the money you save, you spend at the fuel station, you're going to save in maintenance. So that's the way to look at it.
Okay. What are the best ways for folks to get in touch with you if they have more questions?
You can go to georgestonecollege.edu. There's a chat feature on there as well. My phone number's on the website as well. Also, check out our YouTube channel. It's called... Tricks of the Trade, but put in their Boat Smart, Tricks of the Trade, and you'll find my channel.
And you can hear this podcast also on our website, NewsRadio 92.3.
Yep, no doubt.
And we'll have it on up there about 12:30. I put them up there. So thank you again, Stefan. Great show. Appreciate Key Marine on NewsRadio 92.3.
See y'all next week.